Gracious Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have a message before us this morning that applies to each of us, and especially to yours truly. Do not judge or boast. The text is James chapter 4, 11 to 17, and we read this in your hearing in our scripture lesson this morning, but I'd like to share it with you again. Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you are a judge, but if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Therefore, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another? Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The context of this passage, the immediate context, the verse right above where we started to read says, humble yourselves in the sight of God or in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. There's much confusion in the church today about the doctrine of judging. There are those who think that you shouldn't judge anything, and there are those who think that you should judge everything. Well, the Bible tells us we must make righteous judgments in all things pertaining to life and godliness. And it also tells us that we are not to pass tales or condemn our brothers and sisters. How do we distinguish between the two? Well, with respect to judging, we have a classic example of adhering to the context of the passage. If you want to know what the Spirit of God is saying to us in passages that speak to this issue, we need to consider the context. Now, in the Old Testament, a number of words that translate judge or to judge. And it is somewhat easier to determine what the author is talking about in the Old Testament in Hebrew than in the New Testament. For example, the word den in Hebrew means to discern. The word yakak, to make manifest, to reason, reprove. The word peleo is to execute judgment. The word shafat means to act as a magistrate. So in the Old Testament, it's a lot easier. And you also have the words that describe a judge, Dayan and Peliel. Now, in the New Testament, the word that translates almost everywhere, judge or to judge, and the word is krino. The prefix to krino is anakrino, which means to judge strictly or fresh, 1 Corinthians 2:15. Diakrino, to judge thoroughly, as in 1 Corinthians 6:5. And there's one word that's used, hegeomai, which is only used one time in the New Testament, and it means to akino is used in the Koine Greek to judge. It has several connotations. The proper meaning of the word, you have to consider the context. You have to look at what is before and after so that you can see what's there. Now, God is not a God of confusion. He is not yes and no. On the other hand, not to judge. One of the classic examples of this would be found in Luke 6:37, which is a parallel to Matthew 7:12. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now, what the Lord is telling is that we should not condemnatory judgments. Now, I'm going to share with you in the highest fashion I can what is common in the world around you. When you hear someone ask God to damn something or someone else, that's a condemnatory judgment. That is an evil sin, and it should not be done. Well, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Running 90 miles an hour on a turnpike, and a policeman pulls you over, and you say, well, I didn't know what the speed limit was. That's no excuse. In 1 Corinthians 6, 2-5, we read this. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge? How much more things pertaining to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so? No, what the Lord is they in the Corinthian church, they were kicking each other to law over little petty items. One person or another person involved for unjust. Well, one of the quickest is that's one way to lose a friend. Someone comes to you and wants to borrow some money, give it to them. I'm going to give you this money. Don't come back to me anymore asking me for money. Because the probability is, if you're loaning them, you're not going to get it back. You have to face that. So, you know, that's just one of those things that happens with us. Now, what the Bible is teaching us is that we should not condemn other people. That we have oftentimes is at funerals. You hear some preachers preaching people into heaven. And then you have to almost preach them into hell. That's making a condemnatory judgment. We don't know. We know that we are to preach the gospel. We are to tell people that they are rank, filthy sinners. Way to get smiling clean and clean Christ. So the best thing to do, from my perspective, at a funeral, is preach to the living. Because we can't do anything for the dead. They're dead and gone, and their judgment is already sealed. We preach to the living. Now, with respect to boasting, I think Isaiah probably saw the ridiculous about anything. Shall off against him who chops with it. Off against him who saws with it. As if the rod could wield itself, or if the staff could lift up, it were not with it. That's how stupid it is to give all everything that you have God for whatever we God the glory, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. You are to give the rod and the staff are used in themselves, so is man winning power of Almighty God, and whether you know it or not has nothing to do with it. Almighty God is in control of everyone in this world. That's hard, folks. That's hard, and there's some folks that don't like to hear that. You didn't do it, God did it. Or God allowed you to do it. Or God gave you the strength to do it. Beloved, you couldn't have gotten out of bed this morning if it weren't for the power of Christ. Amen. There are several words in Hebrew and Greek that mean to brag or boast. What we are that men ought to make wrong witnesses. Can't make a right judgment or in the mode of judging, adjudicating on the other one. This was the law in him. It is also the law in the church. Because if you see with a brother or sister in the church, that you go to them, brother, sister, you offended me. Let's see if we can get it straight. If you can't get it straight, you take a witness. And in the face of two or three witnesses, you try to get it straight. If you can't resolve the matter, witnesses that you bring with you, the next thing you do is talk to the church. Then the church should hear all of the evidence presented on both sides and make a judgment. The officers of the church have the authority from Christ to make judgments in the church. And the Bible says, here's one that you don't like to hear. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. That's the power of the organized church. Now, we have 10 commandments and judicial principles throughout the Bible. And let me explain one of the things that we find in the Old Testament. The Jews had what is called a Goel law. That was the law of redemption of property. And in order to redeem property, you had to be a close relative of the one who initially owned the property. And what we find in the book of Ruth is that Boaz wanted to marry Ruth. Her husband was dead. When he married her, he would have redeemed the land, because Elimelech's land would fall to Ruth. So Boaz wanted to marry this woman who was a Moabitess. But he discovered that she had a relative closer than him. So he went to the gate, and when the relative passed by, he told the relative that Ruth's and Naomi's property could be redeemed, but he would have to marry Ruth. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. But he did this in the presence of the elders of the city who were in the gate. The next of kin took off his shoe, and that was a witness that he had rejected the offer, so then Boaz could marry Ruth. We have this example in the church of church discipline. Church discipline never works very well. That is, there's always somebody upset when you exercise church discipline. I praise God that we have not had to do that in this church, but maybe four or five times and over the years that we've been in ministry here. And incidentally, I remind you that next week is our 29th anniversary. There is much confusion in the church about judging because people don't want to study the scriptures. That's why. If you study the scriptures, there would not be this confusion. The first thing we need to remember is that God is not yes and no. We need to know that. He is not a God of confusion telling us not to judge and then to judge. Now, obviously, the word has different meanings, as we have shared with you from the New Testament. So you have to look at the context to see what the Bible is really saying. Now, God is the judge of the world and individuals whose judgment is righteous because he is omniscient. You can't hide anything from the Lord. Nothing. The psalmist said, where shall I go from your presence? Nowhere I can go. If I go up to heaven, there you're there. If I go down to hell, you're there. If I even try to hide myself at the bottom of the sea, you're there. You'll find me. So I can't go anywhere from you. Now, the judgment mentioned in our text is a judicial or condemnatory judgment that we're not supposed to make. It says here, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. So what James is saying here in a very practical way is that if you want to pass condemnatory judgment on someone, then you're a judge and not a keeper of the law. You are the one who's passing judgment. You shouldn't do that. Judgment for right and wrong based on the word of God is a good thing to do. If you speak evil and condemn a brother, you are not walking humbly with God. And this is why James says, humble yourselves in the sight of God and he will lift you up. Since there is one lawgiver and all are subject to him, we therefore are in covenant relationship with God. Now, you know, in the church today, the covenant is not emphasized as much as it once was. But here's what the covenant is. God is big boss in charge of everything, and he tells you what you must do if you're going to get a payday. You got that? You don't get no pay if you don't do what God tells you to do. That's kind of putting it plainly. Almighty God sets the conditions for our lives here on earth. Where did I come from? What am I doing here? And where am I going when this is all over? Are the three crucial questions of life. And unfortunately, in this post-Christian era, too many of our people have never even thought about the question, much less the answer. They don't know. But ignorance of the law is no excuse. Since there is one lawgiver, all are subject to him. Therefore, we have the covenant. Throughout the Bible, God is telling man, I am your creator, and you are responsible to me. You do what I tell you to do, and it's going to be so great until you can't even think it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's what the Bible says. It's great. It's so great until you can't even imagine what it's going to be like. But on the other hand, if you don't do what God tells you to do, if you reject salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. And hell is a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That's how the Bible describes it. Now, we are not to boast about any of our accomplishments. And this is where many of us fall down, Christians and non-Christians. And why do we fall down on this issue? Because we're sinners. What do? Sinners sin. And what is it? What is the primary outworking of sin? Pride. And why do we boast? We want to look good. Look at me. Man is a created creature, and all of his abilities and attributes are from God. Thus, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, beloved, this is what happens, and you see this all the time. I'm not recommending that you watch a football game today, but if you see a football game, I watched the college football yesterday, and every time there was a touchdown made, oh, man, the man that made the touchdown, he was just showing off. Well, he was bragging. He was boasting about this touchdown that he made. Now, I know that you should feel good if you do something good. You should feel good about it. But your attitude ought to be one of thankfulness rather than one of boasting. That's what you ought to do. You ought to thank God that he gave you the ability to do this. The tennis matches are on now, and you see it in the tennis matches, and you see it all over the place in the sports world. Now, Christians ought to be humble enough to thank God for the accomplishments that God has allowed us to make. Are you the mother of children? Don't brag about it. Thank God. Thank God for your children. You a father of children? Don't brag about it. Thank God, because if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be a father or a mother. The problem is we don't think biblically anymore. That's the problem. Now, usurping glory from God is sin, and it is so easy to do. Look at what I did. Now, maybe some of you don't have that problem. Maybe. I don't know. But I know that for many years in my life, I had it. I had that problem for many years. And even now, there are times when it would be pretty nice if somebody said, good job, Bob. But I know that you know, I should give God the glory. And this is why when people say something to me like that, I say, praise the Lord. Because I know that if it were not for the power of the Lord, I could not do anything. Now, in reality, what does any human have to be proud or puffed up about? You know, this word in the Greek, puffed up, is like referring to a blowfish. A blowfish is a little weak fish. But when danger comes, he has the ability to puff himself up. He looks real big. And that's what this word means, to puff yourself up. So we don't have anything to be puffed up about. God raises up one and he puts down another. It pleases him to make some rich and some poor and some in between. The rich have nothing to boast about. The poor need to look to God. Now, beloved, Jesus said in his earthly ministry, it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And this is because rich people trust in their money. And money is fleeting. You know, look at the paper tomorrow and see what's happening on the stock market. It goes like this. You know? Money is America's idol. People idolize money. But money can't get you happiness. Money can't get you satisfaction. Money can't get you love. And money can't get you into heaven. Jesus Christ is the one who gets you into heaven. Nothing else. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Now, the text alludes to the love of money. This text alludes to the love of money. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year buying and selling and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. In fact, you really don't know what's going to happen the rest of the day. So how can you boast about what you're going to do for a year? You don't know what's going to happen in another year. You might be dead tomorrow. And that's in God's hands. You know, we live in a very dangerous world. Extremely dangerous. Which one of you can guarantee that you're going to get home safely today? Can you guarantee that? No, you can't. Because it doesn't have anything to do with your automobile. It doesn't have anything to do with your driving skill. It doesn't have anything to do with the direction you take. Safety is of the Lord. Since one's life is a vapor, which will soon vanish away, why boast about getting gain? Why brag about getting gain? There's a particular man that is supposed to be a billionaire, and we see him on television every once in a while, and he exudes pride and boasting. Exudes it. You can see it all over him. He is just so proud of himself. And he's nothing. He's nothing. You look at these fashion models walking down and modeling these clothes and all of that, and all the people talking about losing weight and getting trim and hourglass figures and all of that. Just wait. Father Time got something for him. We must strive to give God the glory in all that we do. If the Lord wills, and we live, we will do such and such tomorrow. If the Lord does not will, we will not live, and we will do nothing tomorrow. Boasting is arrogant. It emits from pride, which is the chief outworking of sin. Some of you probably have dealt with this very practical lesson here before. Some of you probably have not. But what I'm telling you this morning is that God says in His Word that all boasting is sinful. All boasting is sinful. Pride and arrogance are very serious sins. Now, what happens? People think that because I haven't killed anybody, because I haven't taken anything big from anybody, because I don't curse too much, God's going to let me into heaven. Well, what about bragging? What about this sin? The sin of bragging about some accomplishment. Sin is sin, and there's one lawgiver. And the same lawgiver judges everyone by his complete knowledge. And there are people who are going to come before the judgment seat of Christ and going to be turned away from heaven who never did anything big. But the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boasting is arrogant. It emits from pride. To assume that we will do such and such tomorrow, the Bible says, is evil. Look at what the Bible says. I hope you will open your Bible and look at this. It says here, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you didn't know that bragging or boasting was sin until today, now you know. So if you do it, you know that you're in sin. Don't be bragging or boasting about anything, and don't get involved in condemnatory judgments. The Bible tells us clearly that rash judgments and boasting are evil sins. If it is that you have a habit of doing this, you ought to repent right now. You ought to repent right now because we are getting ready to receive the elements which represent the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who left the glories of heaven and came to this sin-cursed earth to be sin for us on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken in body for sinners like you and me. He died on the cross. He was buried. But hallelujah, he got up again on the third day. Praise the Lord. And we are to remember this tremendous price that was paid for our salvation in the taking of the elements in Holy Communion today. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the practicality of the book of James, for it tells us how we ought to walk in this life. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to lay this message up in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.